I want to thank Sinn Féin for the opportunity to speak on this and also the Social Democrats tomorrow. I should say I have serious concerns about the call for the withdrawal of the Israeli ambassador. I have a particular viewpoint on that that doesn't match what people are saying here. Notwithstanding that, we're here today, 1 month and 1 week to the day since the attack by Hamas, which killed 1,400 Israeli people. And I'm on record for condemning that out of hand. I'm also on record for condemning in this House in Galway at protests and vigils, and down in Shannon on Sunday, the disproportionate and inhumane action taken by the Israeli army, which amongst, in my opinion, has all the ingredients of genocide. And let me just say that there's a particular campaign going on with the Israeli embassy in relation to anyone who speaks out or says something differently. And a speech that I made last week or the week before in the Dáil has been the subject of more than a comment, a detailed statement to the local radio in Galway in relation to what I said, and other TDs, my colleague included, has had the same experience. One child killed every 10 minutes, indiscriminate bombing on houses, on hospitals, on health centres. And we stand here today and we argue over the nuances of referring Israel to the International Criminal Court. 11,000, somewhere between 11,128 and 11,200. Imagine we're speaking about human beings like this. We're not quite sure how many have died. 8,000 women and children, 4,500 children. Others, thousands under the rubble. And we're arguing about the nuances of who or how we should refer Israel to the International Criminal Court. The Secretary General of the United Nations said Gaza is becoming a graveyard. It is a graveyard, Minister. You know that. 1.5 million people displaced. The UN experts, some of them resigning in disgust, in horror, in sadness, in disbelief, warning us about the risk of genocide against the Palestinian people. All but one hospital closed down. And the EU has yet to call for a ceasefire. On the contrary, Ursula von der Leyen, and I don't really wish to give her too much of my time, in my limited time, but she pointed out we are standing shoulder to shoulder with Israel. She certainly hasn't got my shoulder. And then we moved a little bit with Borrell, who was a little bit more nuanced, and now we're back again. The EU has backed Israel in saying that its unprecedented killing of civilians in Gaza is what? Partly due to the terrorist use of human shields. Now, even if one was to accept that, let's look at the word partly. If it's only partly used, and I fully disagree with that, what about the part that's not partly? Are they going to do anything there? Are you going to say anything about that from Israel? The Human Rights Watch has told us Israel's use of white phosphorus munitions in Lebanon and Gaza, clear violation of international humanitarian law. I want to use my few minutes to talk about a writer, Daniel Levy, amongst other writers, and I have searched and I have read, and I quoted this man down in Shannon on Sunday. An Israeli, a Jewish man, a former advisor to Israeli prime ministers. Israel's current course can only ensure its perpetual instability. October the 7th and its aftermath can be a catalyst for the previously unthinkable, both good and bad. And I would think our voice as a neutral country should be for the good. If our nightmares, he said, emerged in failing to anticipate and prevent the horrors of October the 7th and every day since, we should unleash our political imagination in laying the groundwork for a future of life and hope. Otherwise, we are staring into the abyss. And he talks about three truths, which it's possible to hold simultaneously if we're seriously interested in promoting peace. One, the militant attack on Israelis, the Hamas attack, was unconscionable, inhumane, and in violation of international law. Equally, and even worse, Israel's collective punishment against Palestinian civilians and its actions in Gaza are unconscionable, inhumane, and a violation of international law. Well, third truth, one must address the context and the occupation and apartheid in which this is unfolding if one is to maintain integrity and be able to plot a strategy going forward. If we can hold these three truths, then it will be possible to prevent further casualties. Now, Minister, I think we should listen to that man and a number of other writers like him who are telling us we're staring into the abyss. On the contrary, Western leaders have spoken with tremendous sympathy and compassion for the casualties in Israel. There has been a glaring absence, however, of any reference to the humanity of Palestinians. And it shouldn't be that hard to acknowledge their pain, suffering, and endless dispossession. The sin of omission in the language coming from the US and many European leaders is encouraging the committing of war crimes. And so, without leadership from them, there's even a bigger onus on us to show leadership. There have been many attempts to bring motions for peace in the UN, and they've been vetoed by America. I stand here and I say there are things we can do besides calling for the withdrawal of the Israeli ambassador, who should be asked in no uncertain terms to come in before the Dáil or the relevant Foreign Affairs Committee and to account, and she should be in no doubt as to what we think. And then there's the divestments bill and the illegal occupations bill. There's the trade with Israel that we could immediately look at. There's no arms embargo. And then the IDA have representatives in Israel. And of course, we have Shannon. And we have the reassurances, pathetic as they are, from the minister and the leadership that they're not carrying any arms, no cluster bombs, nothing like that. Their assurances. Can you imagine taking assurances from the Americans who led the war in Iraq on the basis of false evidence?
Thank you, Madam.